Here we are, part two. Life, death, and the search for Kedusha. Rosh Hashmini. There are really three main topics in Rosh Hashmini. There is the story of the eighth day of the inaugural process of the Mishkan. The induction, as it were, of Aaron and his children as the Kohanim, their initiation into the Kahuna. There is the unfortunate story of Nadav Avihu, two of the sons of Aaron, who extemporaneously trying to bring a korban of one sort or another, in an inappropriate fashion, one that they were not commanded to bring, and they met an untimely end there in the Mishkan on the very day of its inauguration, on the eighth day of the Miluyim period of the inaugural process of the Mishkan. And then there's the discussion of the non-kosher and kosher animals to be found at the end of the parsha. We're going to deal mostly with the inaugural process of Aaron and his sons, and then very briefly in a comment about Nadav Avihu, two of Aaron's sons who met their death in the parsha. And this will be our part two discussion of life and death and the search for Kedusha, the search for connection to Hashem, for holiness, for transcending the boundaries of our corporeal, or perhaps more appropriately, our mundane world. So let's see, the beginning of the parsha starts off, Ayibayam Hashmini, Karam Moshe L'Aaron L'Von of the Zichni Yisrael. The eighth day, Moshe is served in the inaugural process for 7 days as the Kohen. And now on the eighth day, he calls to Aaron and his children and to all the elders. V'yomer el Aaron, kach lecha egel ben bakar lechatos v'ayal lo lo t'mimim v'akrev l'shnei Hashem. Aaron is meant to bring an egel, a calf, for a chatos offering, for sin offering, and an ayal lo ola, etc. V'il b'nei Yisrael t'daber l'mor k'chusi v'izim lechatos v'ayal v'keves v'nishanot t'mimim lo ola. And the Jewish people, in turn, are called to bring a seir izim, a he-goat, for a chatas offering. Aaron is going to bring an egel, a calf, as his chatas offering. The Jewish people, obviously Aaron is going to be the one who brings the korban, but he is doing it as their agent. They are meant to bring a seir izim, he-goat, as the chatas offering, as the sin offering, and an egel, the keves, with an egel and a keves for an ola. And then afterwards we'll see they also brought a shlamim as well. Aaron didn't bring a shlamim. Kachos ha'egel ben bakar, says the Tzro HaMor. Right? One of the great exiles of the Spanish Inquisition. Well, Tzro HaMor, Saba. The first 7 days, these were not his responsibility. Moshe took care of them. Ela adam arishon l'bonav. As it were, they were meant to cleanse mankind. Elo ha-korbanos, and part of this initiation, inaugural process, though, ha-yishalo, on the eighth day. Zeo kach lecha egel ben bakar l'chatos, l'tar oskomi chatos ha-yadua. The eagle, the calf, is chosen, dafkin, is the chatas offering for Aaron to cleanse him from the known sin, i.e. the chait of the eagle hazav, of which Aaron was a participant. Again, Aaron was a participant only to save the Jewish people, trying to stall for time. He was trying to stall for time till Moshe showed up. He was trying, as it were, to keep them from murdering him, as they had done to Hur, his nephew, who objected to their actions, the request to be able to have some sort of intermediary in the absence of Moshe, which he realized was laced with the idea of Avodah Zarah. The people rose up against Hur and killed him, and Aaron was concerned lest they do the same thing to him, not so much for his own welfare, but really his welfare of the Jewish people, that if they were to kill both a Kohen and a Navi, right? They already killed Hur, who qualified as a Navi, and to kill Aaron, who was both a Kohen and a Navi, on that same day, they would be placed in a situation where perhaps would be irreparable, irretrievable. They'd never be able to rebuild their connection to Hashem. He said, let me be involved, and if, God forbid, this comes to fruition, let the calumny fall upon me rather than upon the Jewish people. V'chein ha'am says it's Ramor, the Egel is the choice for Aaron because he's coming, as it were, to receive kapara, to cleanse away the sin to whatever degree is possible of the golden calf. That's why it's an egel that's chosen, a calf. And the Jewish people are to bring a seir izim l'chatos, says the Torah more, and he's not the only one, others say it as well. The seir izim shel Yosef ekulchem tzrichim l'tayer. V'shayom azen nira aleim kemtos aron hamesharis. In other words, the Jewish people need to cleanse themselves of the seir izim, using the seir izim, using the egot, to cleanse themselves of the sin of the selling of Yosef. You remember that they dipped Yosef's coat of colors into the blood of a goat, and they brought it back to Yaakov, and they said, is this perhaps your son's coat covered with blood? They used the goat of a seir, the blood of a goat. And so we have these two paramount sins. This is something which the Mishnah Chacham point in Parshas Emor, Achimos, discusses the Avoda of Yom Kippurim, and he says that there are two paramount sins in the history of the Jewish people, and they find reflection in the closing of the main bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei. On Yom Kippurim, Katas Salchan Yisrael Umachon Neshivti Yeshurun Lechol Dor Vador. The paramount sin of Olam Makom is the Chet Egel, and it's reflected in Katas Salchan Yisrael Umachon Neshivti Yeshurun Lechol Dor Vador, to those who are the tribes of the straight one, Yeshurun, but they didn't behave in such a fashion. That's the sin against their brother Yosef. The two paramount sins in Jewish history that need cleansing. The sin of the golden calf, Ben Olam Makom, against Hashem, and the sin of Mechiras Yosef, the selling of Yosef as a slave, the sin of Ben Olam Chavira. So in any event, that's what Shmuel Moore tells us. And once again, he's not the only one to say, he just says it very succinctly. Continues to tell us, Yitzchak, it's the uncle of the Beis Yosef, Yitzchak Karam. He says as follows, his madua tiva bekorbanos, Yisrael seir, bekorbanos aram, utziva korban seir, lezeah, safek, amu chazal, Yisrael yishmen batchil, v'yishlem basof. He repeats this idea that we spoke about before, that the seir was brought by Aram, I'm sorry, the eagle was brought by Aram for his sin, and the seir was brought by Klaiso for their sin, the sin of the golden calf, and the sin of, etc., of the selling of Yosef. And he asked the question, Yesh lahakshus b'kobonis Yisrael, tziva seir izim lachatas al maisa ovon ha-seir, shachatas bal ovon shenasa b'poal. In other words, the chatas is brought for the act that they did. They did a deed. They did the sin of selling their brother Yosef. The egel ola al machshavas ovan egel, and they brought an egel. Remember, we said the egel was brought as an ola. In other words, the sin of the Jewish people was a sin. In other words, the Jewish people were now standing at the time of the inauguration of the Mishkan. There are no Jews left who actually served the Egel. Indeed, all those either were killed by the Levim, or they died in a Magefa, or they drank the waters of the crushed and burnt egel, mixed with the waters just as a sota, just as a woman who is guilty of infidelity, she drinks the waters of the sota, and these check her as to whether she has been faithful to her husband. So too also the Jewish people were given this by Moshe, and those who were guilty, even though they weren't necessarily witnesses to what they did, of serving the golden calf, they also met their end. So the only people left alive who had any connection to the Chet Egel are those who were glad in their heart, but didn't, as it were, participate actively in the service of the Egel. So therefore, their Egel, the Jewish people's Egel, is brought as an Ola. The Seir Ezim is brought by the Jewish people because indeed they sold Yosef. Aaron in turn brings an Egel for Chatas because he did the act of the golden calf. He contributed to making it, but his heart was far away from it. He doesn't need the Ola to cleanse him of thoughts. His thoughts were pure. Nonetheless, he requires an Ola, says the Toldos Yitzchak, because, in fact, it's not so simple, the cheshbon that Aaron made. It's true he had in mind to save the Jewish people, but it's not a simple choice. The fact that he contributed to there being Ovid of Rezara in order to save them from what he considered to be a worse sin, which would be his murder, he still requires an Ola. Albeit it's not an Ola of an Egel, but it is an Ola. It is a burnt sacrifice. The Ola, we know, cleanses the world of thought. The Chatos cleanses the world of deed. Continue on just a bit more. And the reason why we mentioned before that the Jewish people need to bring a shlamim. Shlamim is always a korban which is mashlim, creates shalom between Hashem and the bringer of that korban, in this case, the Jewish people as a whole. They were meant to bring a shlamim. Aaron didn't bring a shlamim, but told us Yitzchak says because Hashem obviously knew that on this day his children, not of Avihu, would die. And so he couldn't be in a complete state of shalom vis-a-vis Hashem because of the terrible occurrence that was going to befall him on this day. As a result of this cleansing process, Aaron bringing an egel chatos and an ayal ola, the Jewish people bringing a seir chatos, right, and an egel ola, once again, each one requiring a different sort of cleansing for the sins of action with regard to the egel azov, are need to bring a chatos. And that's why Dafu brought an egel for the thoughts, etc. And it was not a simple decision, and maybe perhaps not totally correct, that he made to choose to aid the people in making the Ola rather than giving him the opportunity of perhaps killing him. For this he required an Ola to cleanse the world of thought. The Jewish people, in turn, their connection, those who are alive now, after the Chet Egel, their connection to the sin of the golden calf was in the world of thought, and therefore they needed an Egel La'ola, a calf, to, in the world of the Ola, of the Korban, the sacrifice, the Ola which cleanses the world of thought, and they need to bring a Seir to cleanse them in the world of deed for the dastardly act that they had committed in the selling of their brother Yosef. Once again, these two paramount sins in the history of the Jewish people. Finally, the Toldos Yitzchak says right? On the pasuk, it says, "V'shur v'ayil shlamim lizvach l'shmi Hashem u'mincha blul Hashemin ki ayom Hashem nir'eh aleichem nir'eh aleichem." On this day, Hashem will appear, reveal Himself upon you, right? To you and upon you. Ayom hazeh, ayom Hashem nir'eh aleichem. Says the Toldos Yitzchak, Nira, Besos Amilish Osios Aaron, Aleph A Resh Nun Aaron, Aaron. Vemilas Aleichem, Ishbo Osios Michael. Michael, who is the archangel, who serves, as it were, as the Kohen in heaven. Lomar Shilchvod Aaron, Nira, Shchina Begolui. The Shekhinah, the divine presence, will be revealed through the acts of Aaron because of his love of the Jewish people, his concern for the Jewish people. He will be the agent that will cause the Shekhinah to be revealed both upon him here on earth and upon Michael, who is to function as the Kohen in heaven, right? Aleichem, Michael, Mem, Yud, Chof, Aleph, Lamed. Michael Aleichem. Fascinating. So here we have people confronting sin, coming, as it were, to recognize that sin, to go through the cleansing process as the inauguration of the Mishkan. This causes the divine presence of Kedusha to rest upon the Jewish people. That's on the one hand. The next pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, Krov al Mizbech, Vaseis Chatoscha v'Lascha v'Chaper ba'Atcha, v'Adam Vaseis Kobana Am v'Chaper ba'Adam Kasher Tziva Hashem." Pasuk is very interesting. It says, "Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, Krov al Mizbech, come close to the Mizbech. Do it. When we come close to the Mizbech, obviously, in order to be able to do the avoda, he has to come close to the Mizbech." The Ksav Sofer mentions over here, and again, this is something that's brought down around the Rishonim, it's brought down in the Medrash, it's brought down in the Baal Turim, it's brought down in Rashi. Kravalon is Be'ach, Kosav Rashi, Shaya Aaron Bosh V'yorei. He was embarrassed, he was fearful to do the Avodah. Amala Moshe, Lamata Bosh, Lekach Nivcharta. Why are you embarrassed? It is for this purpose you were chosen. Tzorach L'Havi. We need to understand, says Ksav Sofer, Shemaskil B'Shayim Bosh V'Yorei, Messayim Ba'achas, Lamata Bosh, Avle Lamata Bosh V'Yorei. It's very interesting. The Pasuk says, Kazal Rashi says, Aaron was both embarrassed and afraid. Hashem, Moshe, I should say, comes to him and says, why are you embarrassed and afraid? Right? Why are you embarrassed? It's for this purpose that you were chosen. So the Ksav Sofer says, why did he leave out? Why are you embarrassed and afraid? Just say, you're only saying, why are you embarrassed? Initially, Rashi says Aaron was embarrassed and afraid. Moshe says to him, why are you embarrassed? She said, why are you embarrassed and afraid? Says the Ksav Sofer. The Ramban, once again, the other Mishnah mentioned as well, once again, it's a medrash as well, that when Aaron saw the Mizbeach, it was kiyubi, he had a deja vu, he had a vision before him, he saw the four horns of the Mizbeach, four corners of the Mizbeach, and this in his mind reminded him of the horns of a shore, of an ox. The ox, obviously the eagle, it's a young, right, it's a calf. And it reminded him of the sin. And he was embarrassed. How can I be the agent for the Jewish people when I contributed to their making the golden calf? With all of his lofty intentions. Aaron knew his lofty intentions of trying to save the Jewish people from killing him. They'd be stained forever with his blood upon their hands. As they had the blood of Hur already, they'd already killed. And nonetheless, he's embarrassed. The near least is the Ksav Sofer. Aaron had two issues. He was, on the one hand, he was torn. He was embarrassed. How can I be their agent? And on the other hand, or perhaps the flip side of the same coin, if I receive this glory, perhaps this cover will rise to my head. I'll forget my sin. I'll forget my involvement with the golden calf. I'll just think of my glory. Here I am, the agent of the Jewish people, the Kohen Gadol. That's why he was afraid. He was embarrassed and afraid. That's why he was Bosh V'yare. And that, says the Ksav Sofer, is why Moshe Rabbeinu, why Rashi says, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't be embarrassed. For this reason you were chosen. V'hashta ase shapir. He says, your embarrassment, because you know of your involvement with the golden calf, this will always maintain your humility. You have nothing to fear. You will not become filled with hubris over the fact that you are the agent for the Jewish people. This is the entry into the world of Kedusha. The entry into the world of Kedusha requires humility. And Aaron has that in an extra measure. The search for Kedusha requires humility. Before whom I stand? Who am I as I stand before the Creator? Who am I? How great are my deeds? Or perhaps how flawed even are my deeds? I can stand before the Creator. Hashem will not push a person away. But that view, that realization, before whom I stand, that understanding of humility, that's what enables a person to stand as an agent for the entire Jewish people, for Hashem. The quest for Kedusha here is paved first with the road of humility. The Emre Emes says a different approach. In L'chachata Nivcharta, don't be embarrassed. It is for this purpose that you were chosen. Again, the Ksav Sofer told us, because of your embarrassment, that will always maintain your humility. You'll never be, as it were, the worth of yourself. You're the perfect agent. The Imre Emes says, when Aaron saw the Mizbeach, and reminded him of the Cheta Egel. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, why are you embarrassed? He says a different approach. He says, because you did what you did for the Jewish people. What you did for the Jewish people. And as you look at the horns of the Mizbeach, you look at the rising corners, jutting up above the level of the Mizbeach, and reminds you of the horns of the ox. And you think of your sin, but you did that to save the Jewish people. Your madrega of tshuva is tshuva mi'ahava. Your madrega of tshuva is the quest to come close to Hashem, not just to avoid punishment. And because of that, that's a tikkun to the Cheta Egel. And it's for that reason, especially, that you're worthy to be agent for the Jewish people. Your love for them, right? Your love for them is what makes it special. Your truth, the ahava, the truth that you did out of love of Hashem and not just to avoid punishment, makes you the most worthy agent for the Jewish people. Fine. Further, another point here. Also, here in the world of where Bin Olam Makom and Bin Olam Chaveru intersect, as we spoke about before, remember, in the search for Kedusha, there has to be a cleansing of the Bin Olam Makom. There has to be a cleansing of the Bin Olam Chaveru. Remember, as we saw at the very beginning from Tzvah Mor, the Aron needs to bring an egel for chatos to cleanse the sin of Bein Aron Makom v'cheta egel. The Jewish people had to bring a seir l'chatos to cleanse themselves of the sin of the sale of their brother, of Yosef HaTzadik. The quest for Kedusha requires cleansing on both levels. In any event, an intersection, an interesting intersection, is noted over here by the Orach Chaim, Rav Chaim, Mizlotchov, right? Talmud Magim Mizrich, and others, of Rav Shmelkin, Nicholsburg. He says a fascinating thing. Pasuk Zion once again says, V'yom Moshe el Aaron, Krav el HaMizbeach, Haseyes Chatoscho ve'oscho ve'osecho, V'chaper ba'atcho ve'ad ha'am. Cleanse yourself, he says, the Korbanos of Aaron, remember. Cleanse yourself and the people. V'aseyes Korban ha'am, and then bring the Korban of Am, V'chaper ba'adam. So this is something that's wrong here. These are Aaron's personal korbanos, right? And he's coming to be mechaper, he's coming to cleanse both himself and the people. Ubad Am, for the Am as well. And then bring the korban of the Am and chaper ba'adam. Says the Orach Chaim, says Rav Chaim, he's Lotchov. He says, what's the meaning of the first kapara that Aaron is bringing of his own kabbanah, and it's meant to be a chaper for himself and for the people? The people got their own korban. See, he puts this in the context of a question he once asked his Rebbe of Shmelkim in Nicholsburg, who's known as an incredible Oy of Israel. He asked him, how is it possible to be kind of a haftarecha kamocha? If someone else did to you an evil turn, wasali ra, someone has been mean to me, someone has been cruel to me, how can I be mekayim haftarecha kamocha? And Shmelke told him, if a person is, as it were, two limbs, let's say you raised up your hand to strike, right, a nail, and you missed, and you hit your other hand, would then the person pick up with the damaged and hurt hand the same hammer and maul the first hand that had hit him? Even if you'd done it almost on purpose, what does it help? You're hitting yourself. He says, we're all one soul. We're all one soul. And therefore, right? And therefore, of course, after the recha kamocha, because how could I possibly, as it were, hate, want to do evil to a person who's a piece of me and I'm a piece of him? Easily said, not easily accomplished, I know. I'm not quite so naive. But it is something to struggle for. At any event, says the Orach L'Chaim, that's what's transpiring here. When Aaron's bringing his kapara for his chet, his involvement in the chet of Egel. But who brought him to that? The Jewish people. Shouldn't that feel bitterness, anger? You brought me to this. No. He brings his kapara for what he did and for their involvement in causing him to do what he did. And afterwards he brings their kapara for their own sin, which is the sin of the sale of Yosef. Fascinating. Another idea, an important one, especially in our times. Pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe, Zeh Davar Shetziv Hashem Talsu Veira Alechem Kvod Hashem." It's a very enigmatic pasuk. This is after everything that the Jewish people have done. In Kilu, this is a prologue. Zeh Davar, this is what you should do. Shetziv Hashem Talsu, you shall do. Veira Alechem Kvod Hashem. If this pasuk is talking about how they would be worthy that the divine presence should rest upon them, it should have been said earlier, before the donations to the Mishkan. Not here at the end, after they've done everything already. But the point of saying, Zad davar shetzivah Hashem tasu, this is what you should do. Ve'ra aleichem kvod Hashem. And the divine presence will reveal himself to you. There's nothing else to do. We should deal with it. Hamikdavar says a fascinating idea. He says as follows, that the warning over here is, don't think you can achieve Kedusha on your terms. Moshe Rabbeinu already knew the, as it were, the, almost the intoxicating effect of the search for meaning, for Kedusha. And he knew that people already were thinking, how can I achieve that closeness to Hashem? And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, in the way that Hashem prescribes, don't concoct, don't, right, manufacture your own derech to do it. That's not in sync with that which the Torah tells you. Zeh HaDavar, what you've done until now, this will be the way that you will achieve closeness to Hashem, the realm of Kedusha, the realm of what he called heady connection to Hashem, of Dveikus, of cleaving into him. Don't make anything up. He sensed already that this is percolating in the Jewish people. It would take place later on in Parshas Korach. You see, it goes over this idea also, again, at the end of Parshas Shlach, in the Parshas of Tithis, he talks about this as well. And here, our Parsha here, that's exactly what Nadavavu did. They went and brought a korban that they were not commanded to bring in the search, in the deep desire to be spiritually connected. Do not manufacture your own methodology for connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Use the methodology that Hashem gives you. Don't create your own man-made pathways. Again, everybody has got their own strengths and their weaknesses. Everyone can find their niche, their area of specialty, right? Their recall, their area in which their kohos, their unique strengths come to the fore. This is something, again, that he speaks about at the end of Parshas Tzitzis, Parshas Shlach. But don't manufacture something and say, this is the way to spirituality, to Kedusha. Follow the path only of that for Torah. This leads us to Nadavavu, and this was their sin, right? And just one more comment here, and we'll close with the words of the Meshech Chachma. Moshe Rabbeinu, after the death of Nadavavu, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, just lost his two sons. This is what Hashem had said to us early, Bikovaya Kadesh. My holy ones, I will be sanctified. Hashem's name will be sanctified. How? By holy people, your two sons. They did something wrong. They were obviously holy people. They were searching for holiness. Albeit, as we saw from the Netziv before, they erred. That's why they met their end. But Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, this had to happen. Why? Says the Meshech Chachma, because, after all, we've inaugurated the Mishkan. You brought an Egel Lachatos. You brought an Egel Lachatos, sin of the golden calf. People might begin to think, Hashem says, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, but in the end, he forgives. You're okay, I'm okay. It's California, it's no problem. It's necessary for people to realize that in addition to Dveikus, to cleaving to Hashem, in addition to the sweetness of Kedusha that one achieves and one experiences through Avas Hashem, but a person must also know their boundaries, places that we don't understand, places that are beyond our ability to wrap our head. Yira. There must be Yira. And for that reason, it's true they sinned, but the reaction was catastrophic. It met an immediate death. The fire came out and consumed them, consumed out of our view. This was to teach the Jewish people that the world of Kedusha is filled with sweetness, but the world of Kedusha can only be achieved if one realizes that one cannot totally wrap one's head around his connection to the Creator as long as you live in this physical world. There must be boundaries. boundaries one must realize before one whom stands, This is how Moshe, as it were, consoled Aaron. There was no other way. You two children, not of Aviu, they erred. The reaction was sudden and swift, extremely painful. But it taught the Jewish people a lesson as well. The world of Kedusha, of holiness, of attachment, is sweet, it is fragrant, it is heavy. But when one enters, one must always remember before one whom stands. Before whom do we stand? We stand before Melech Malchim Lachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is Kadosh. We do not have the ability to understand everything that he does. Yira, boundaries. I hope this was useful, and especially in the light of what we discussed in part one with regard to Yom HaShoah. Yom HaShoah V'Agvur, as it's referred to. I hope this was useful. May Hashem shine his countenance upon us, may the Jewish people be zoche to ha'aras panim, yo'er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka, he grace us with his ha'aras panim. May we know only, right, the warmth, while we at the same time remember before whom do we stand? Melech Malchim Lachim Kodesh Baruch Hu. And let's remember as well that the path to Kedusha, in addition to both Av and Yira, requires cleansing. Cleansing of ourselves in the world of Bein Aharon L'Makom. Remember the Egel Chatos of Aharon, and cleansing ourselves on the road of Benam L'Chaveru. Remember the Seir L'Chatos, the goat that was brought to Chatos for the Jewish people. Learn the lessons. Let's rectify ourselves. Let's purify ourselves, especially during these days of Sfira. On both levels, Benam L'Makom, Benam L'Chaveru, and Halavai, we should meet at Har Sinai, and the Rabbon Shalom should reveal himself to us in the most splendid of all fashions. Amen. Hatzlacha. Have good Shabbos.